today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you.
What's going on, guys? This is Tim McAndrew with Leading with Sense. I'm your host, and today, which I alluded to in my first episode, I'm going to be going over my 8-step plan that I've come up with based on my experience and doing financial coaching and being in the military. And this is called the Money Marching Order. Again, this is 8 steps. This episode is a little bit longer because it goes a little bit into the mechanics of each step and why. Again, I want to make sure that everyone understands the why behind each of these steps, because they're inclusive. They're a little bit in detail, but you know, a 30-minute episode is going to be a lot of information. So you might want to take notes. Later on, I'll be covering each of these steps a little bit more in detail and going over some specifics in each one along with overall topics. So this is just a quick overview, about 30 minutes. So hope you enjoy the episode, and here is your money marching order. So again, it's 8 steps. And if you follow these, I guarantee you will have financial success over a 10, 15, 20, even a 2-year term in the military. So money marching order number one, stop movement and get your head count. Until this point, you have not paid attention to your money. Maybe, probably. So you may have things coming in and out of your account that you're not witting to, that you don't know what's going on. So I will, in this step, in your stop movement phase, I want you, one, to cancel all your subscriptions, all your Netflix, all your Hulu, all of your Spotify, whatever it is, any subscription, whether it's your cable. You know, if you're in debt, I want you to cancel all your subscriptions. Then, if you're carrying debt on credit cards, I want you to cut them up. I don't want you to use them anymore. And you know what? Even if you aren't carrying debt on your credit cards, go ahead and cut them up for now. I don't want you using them. And at this point, until we figure out what is going on, which that's why we're stopping our movement. We're getting a head count on our money and seeing what we have currently. I want you to pause retirement. I want you to go into MyPay and put 0% for your TSP contribution. Or if you're a civilian, your 401k contribution. And just pause it for now until we figure out what is going on and what direction you are going. And then stop movement, probably one of the most important things, is to assess your will and your life insurance. Again, in the military, you have a dangerous job. You can deploy on a moment's notice. And if you don't have a will, if you don't have the proper life insurance in place, you're foolish. I used to be a commander, and people would come into my office for me to sign off their deployment papers. And I often would ask them, do you have a will? And the majority of people did not. And as a commander, I cannot mandate that they have a will. But if something happened to that soldier while they were deployed, guess who would be talking to the family? Me. And guess who would be telling them the bad news that they didn't have a will? Me. But I cannot mandate that my soldiers have a will. So if you found me and you're following the money marching order and you're hearing step one, get your will done. Go to your local JEG office and get it done. Even if you're single, get it done. And look at your life insurance. Make sure you have beneficiaries listed on your SGLI, your service member group life insurance, which is a term policy, a term life policy, your employer benefit for when you're in the military. And it's $400,000. Make sure your beneficiaries are assigned. Again, will and life insurance. And if someone relies on you for your income, you need to think that SGLI, that $400,000, is not enough. When I was on active duty, I had a soldier in my unit commit suicide. And I sat down with his wife to figure out where they were standing financially and how I could best help them. The only life insurance he had in place was his SGLI, which was serving its purpose, but he was married with a daughter and a mortgage and other debt. And that was not enough. You know, it got her by and we were able to get her on a path to success, but it wasn't the proper amount of insurance. So you need to look at your life insurance, look at your income, and you need to have around 10 times your income in term life insurance, which again, the $400,000 in SGLI is part of this. So get your will and life insurance together. You don't have an excuse. Do it now. And then the last part of the STOP movement is to apply the Civil Service Relief Act to all your accounts. So if you have open credit cards, if you have open auto loans, call each lender and ask them for SCRA to be applied to your account. And what a lot of people are finding is they've paid interest, they've paid late fees, they've paid a lot to American Express, to Discover, to Toyota. And there are certain limits of what they can charge you as a service member. So oftentimes people are getting large or medium checks back from these companies. They're getting money back from these companies because these companies did not apply or you did not inform them that you were in the military. So ask for the SCRA benefits. It'll take a month or two to process, but you might get a check in the mail. You might get a check back to apply towards your money marching order. All right. So that's step one, stop movement. Cancel subscriptions. Stop using credit cards. Pause your retirement. Get your will and life insurance in place. And SCRA benefits to all your accounts. All right. Money marching order number two. So you have different protection, right? You have different protection when you go out into the field. You have your helmet and you have your body armor, right? Or if you go ride a bicycle, you have, you know, maybe knee pads, elbow pads, wrist pads, and you have your helmet. At the minimum, you're going to wear your helmet because if you get an accident, at least your helmet will protect your head. So money marching order number two, establish your helmet emergency fund. What is a helmet emergency fund? Again, this is something to keep you safe, the minimum to keep you safe and secure while you're working through the process. So in your helmet emergency fund, I want you to save the amount of your largest deductible. Your largest deductible. Again, this is auto insurance. This is homeowners insurance. This is not your health savings account if you have one. Which if you are in the military, you do not have a health savings account unless some reason your wife or your spouse does. So save the amount of your largest insurance deductible, but I want you to cap this at $2,000. Cap it at $2,000. If you have deductibles over $2,000, you need to reassess your deductibles and try to get them back down below $2,000. And I want your helmet emergency fund. I want it in your savings account, your money market, something that's low risk that you can have quick access to. Again, if something happens and you need to access your money, you need to get to it. You need to get to it fast. If it's in investments, you're not going to be able to get to it fast. So something low risk, quick access, savings account, money market. That's money marching order number two, helmet emergency fund. All right. MMO three is pay off debt and blended retirement system match. Blended retirement system match. So as you know, or may not know, the military now is on a blended retirement system, which is a blended system of the pension and the 401k matching like program. So with the blended retirement system, you get a 5% match. And if you serve 20 years, at the end of the 20 years, you will get a 40% pension. So you get a 5% match and 40% pension. And there's a lot of different options in BRS, and I will cover that. I'll cover BRS in depth in a different episode. But right now, you know, there's other programs out there that tell you to stop paying into retirement, investing into retirement until all your debt's paid off. And my mentality, having been in the military, having been deployed with soldiers, you know, this is not a normal job. You're not a freaking greeter at Walmart. You don't work at Wendy's. You're not a receptionist. You don't have a normal job. You need to get everything you can from the military while you're in. Because when they are done with you, they are done. So this is why in MMO3, I want you to put 5% of your base pay into BRS. That way you can get the 5% match from the government. Again, when you're done with the Army or the Army's done with you, they are done. They are done. You are on your own. So I want you to get that 5% match for now. And I want that to be in your Roth. I want that to be in a Roth TSP, which again, the Roth is after-tax dollars. So any money that goes into there, you've paid taxes on. So it's going to grow tax-free. And guess what? If you're in a combat zone, that's tax-free in and tax-free out. Yeah, that's right. Tax-free in and tax-free out. So if you invest 5% or 10% or 15%, let's just say you invested $200,000 over a 20-year career. That would have grown to over $1 million. Over $1 million over a 20-year career. And if you did a Roth, like I'm suggesting, you would have only paid taxes on some of that $200,000 because some of that you were probably deployed. So that $200,000 you've paid taxes on, but it's grown, let's just say $1.2 million. Guess what? You get to withdraw that $1.2 million tax-free. Tax-free. Just know that your match to your contribution, so your 5% match from Uncle Sam, that will go in traditional because that is pre-tax dollars. Pre-tax dollars is how you get your match. And the other part of MMO3 is pay off your debt and, you know, I tried to come up with some witty way and I looked at all the debt payoff methods and I can't come up with a better system than the Ramsey debt snowball. The debt snowball is by far the most effective tool for paying off debt that I've ever seen. I coached a couple that had over $202,000 in debt. And I figured out their debt payoff based on interest rate. And then I figured it out based on the snowball. And they were so close. They were maybe a couple months payoff of each other. That it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense to do the highest interest rate first. As far as success goes. So do your debt payoff. List them smallest to largest using the debt snowball. So you're going to pay minimums on everything but the smallest debt. And any money you can squeeze out of your budget, any money that you have come in, like a reenlistment bonus or a bonus or something else. You signed up to be a pilot and now you get fly pay and you have extra income coming in. You're applying that to the smallest debt while paying minimums on the rest. And then once the smallest debt's paid off, all the money going on that debt will go to the next smallest debt while you're paying minimums on the rest. So that's the debt snowball. So you're gaining momentum as you roll down the hill. The snowball is getting bigger. The debt payments are getting larger. And then eventually, once you get to the largest debt, you will have one big payment to pay down that debt fast. And just like going to the gym, if you go to the gym 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and you don't see any results, you're going to stop going to the gym. And that's how the debt snowball works. You get small wins as you go along. So like when you go to the gym, about every 3 to 4 weeks, you see results. You see your numbers go up. You might see an extra ab in the mirror or gain a half an inch on your arms. So the debt snowball, you're getting gains as you go along. So you're going to keep on going. All right, money marching order number 4. So again, 1 is stop movement. 2 is helmet emergency fund. 3 is pay off debt and BRS match. And 4 is your body armor. So again, in MMO2, we had your helmet emergency fund. This is the minimum to keep you safe. So in MMO4, we're putting on the rest of your armor, right? To get ready for those larger battles, to get ready for those larger emergencies. So this is your body armor. And I want your body armor, your fully funded emergency fund, to be 3 to 6 months of your net pay. That's your stateside net pay. And what I mean by this, if you make $5,000, if you bring home $5,000 a month, I want you to save between, you know, $15,000 and $30,000. If you make $3,000 a month, I want you to save between $9,000 and $18,000. You know, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. 3 to 6 months of net pay, because that's what you live off now, right? So you have your net pay and you, that's what you spend every month. So that's what I want you to save up in anticipation. Now, if you actually have an emergency or you lose your job or you're asked to leave the service, you're not going to live high on the hog like you did while you were in the service, right? So you're going to reduce expenses. So that 3 to 6 months of net pay, it's going to go further, right? Your 3 to 6 months, you know, some other plans out there, they have 3 to 6 months of expenses. That's kind of subjective. When I met with people and coached people, you know, we were kind of like, oh, just kind of swag that, give it a scientific wild guess. But if I sit down with someone and I look at their earning statement, their leave an earning statement in the military or their pay stub, I can tell what their net pay is. I can tell what their take home pay is. So I can give them an exact number to save up for their body armor. So this is why I want your 3 to 6 months of net pay. and Money Marching Order number 5. So we did 1, 2, 3, and 4, and now we're doing 5. And this is what I call Pension Plus. This is your Pension Plus. So even if you're on the legacy system and you're listening to this now, there have been cases not so long ago, 2014, 2015, that the military went through a great reduction in force, otherwise known as a RIF or something, you know, depends on what service you're in, but they reduced the size of the military and they had target gear groups that they're reducing. And there were many 15, 16 years of service members, you know, they had 15 or 16 years into the military that were asked to leave. They were asked to leave the military at 16 years. The government fired them at 16 years. 4 years away from that pension, 4 years away from that. Now, the system then, they got something for retirement. They got a reduced percentage based on how many years they were in, under 20, and they got something known as TARA. But TARA is now gone away. TARA is no longer a thing. So if you get to 15 or 16 years and someone gets elected that wants to reduce the military, they're going to reduce it. So I don't want you to rely on your pension at all. I don't want you to think, oh, those guys got TARA, which is Temporary Early Retirement Authority, which comes and goes, right? So TARA, Temporary Early Retirement Authority, is not in effect right now. So if the military reduces, there's no guarantee that you will get your pension. There is no guarantee that you will get your 50 or 40% pension. And if you don't have anything started towards retirement, you're going to have nothing. And plus, I call this Pension Plus, because wouldn't it be nice to have that pension, but already have something in retirement, something of value in your pocket? So again, your pension is great, but it dies with you. Your pension dies with you. It does not outlive you unless you take that survivor benefit plan, right? So Pension Plus, if you are starting this plan at 30 years or above, if you're starting this plan at 30 years or younger, I want you to do 10% of your money into the Roth TSP underneath the blended retirement system. So it'll be 10% of your own money and a 5% match on top of that, totaling around 15%, right? If you're over 30 years old, I want you to put the full 15% in so that you get the 5% match on top of that. So you're putting 20% in, because guess what? If you're 30 or later, you are late in the game, brother. So again, this is based on 20-year career, coming in around 20 years old, retiring around 40, right? So that's why I'm using the 30 number as that gate. Because if you joined at 20 years old and you put in 10% with a 5% match for 10 years, you are going to outpace the 30-year-old that starts at 30 and puts in the 15%. You are going to have more money when you retire than them. So again, 30 or under, 10% into a Roth BRS TSP. So you get the 5% match, 15% total. And if you're over 30, so 31 or older, I want you to put 15% in, get the 5% match for a total of 20%. All right. So from the Pension Plus, MMO number 5, we're going to MMO number 6. And MMO, Money Marching Order number 6, is Save and Invest. Save and Invest. So our retirement we have set. We have the automatic contribution set up. for either 10 or 15%, depending on how old you are. So I want you to set your savings at a minimum of 5% automatically. Automatically 5% or more. And I want you to do this first into non-retirement savings. So do not do this in your thrift savings plan. Do not do this inside your individual retirement arrangement. Please do this in non-retirement. And what's non-retirement? Mutual funds, index funds, or savings. I don't want you to do single stocks. I don't want you to do some risky other investments. I want you to do effective. I want you to do relatively conservative, such as mutual funds and index funds. But why? So with single stocks, with companies, a company can go bankrupt. So if you put $20,000 on a stock, and let's say there's a national pandemic and the company goes belly up, you lost all that money. With like an index fund, right? It's an index. It's not a single company. You cannot bankrupt an index unless the whole stock market crashes. So index funds and mutual funds, a collective investment of different companies and different funds. This, over time, will give you at least an 8, 10, or 12% return. Again, be smart when choosing index funds and mutual funds. Look for a track record of greater than 8 to 10% for 5, 7, and 10 years. Look at it through 2008. Look at it through 2001. And now I can say, look at it now through 2020 and see how it did. See how it recovered. Because that's probably the most important thing. If a stock falls, an index falls, a mutual fund falls, see how it recovered. So that's MMO number 6. Money marching order number 7. College planning. College planning. So there's a lot of different benefits out there for military members to use for their children's college. A lot of it can be state dependent, but there is the GI Bill. Post-11G GI Bill and other benefits, right? So I want you to first assess your GI Bill. I want you to assess whether the beneficiary is you. I want you to assess if the beneficiary is your child, your wife. And if you want to transfer it to one of your dependents, do it sooner than later, because there is an additional service obligation with transferring it. And maybe you don't know what you want to use it for, but if you know you're going to stay in the military for long term, you know, you may look at transferring it, because the GI Bill is great and it, you know, it pays for a lot of college. But if you're going to stay in the military and you want to do something for your degree, you can use tuition assistance, TA, while you're still in. Again, use it sooner than later, because there is an additional service obligation from the time you stop using TA, transition assistance. See, I think it's either 2 or 3 years from the time you stop. So if I did my master's and in 2018, I stopped using it, I couldn't just leave the service in 2018. I would have to serve till 2020 or 2021. So assess your college expense needs. Look at your state benefits. And after you've kind of exhausted your GI Bill planning, your state benefit planning, go ahead and start saving in a 529 plan. So as military, you move around a lot. So again, the 529 plans are usually state dependent. Try to find one that's not state dependent, but you know, that's kind of hard to do. So, you know, based on where you lived, pick a good 529 plan. Again, a good track record of five or 10 years that's performed well and know what that's invested in. So money marching order one, stop movement. Money marching order number two, helmet emergency fund. Money marching order number three, debt payoff and blended retirement system match. Four, body armor, 3 to 6 months of net pay in an emergency fund. Five, pension plus, supplement your pension with your retirement savings. Six is save and invest. Seven is college planning. And number eight is your last step. And at number eight, there's a reason why I put this last. There's a reason why I put the house last. Oftentimes in the military, you're moving every 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years. It's very dependent. I was in the service for 8 years. I moved 5 times. Now, 5 of those moves were within a 4-year time frame. So during those 4 years, it would have been foolish for me to buy because I wasn't in a single location long enough to benefit from buying. So in step 8, I want you to look at how long you're going to be at your duty station. If you're going to be at your duty station for 2 years or more, on the high side of 2 years or more, there's nothing wrong with buying a house. Just realize that you're giving up flexibility to just leave at a moment's notice. Like if you rent, there's a military clause that says with the proper notification, you can get out of your lease. If you have deployment orders over 90 days, PCS orders, or other implications, you can get out of your lease and be done. Where if you buy a house, you're on the hook, brother. You're on the hook for maintenance. You're on the hook for upgrades. And you're on the hook for that mortgage. So you cannot just up and leave. You have to sell that house. Which is why I put it in step number 8. So again, more than 2 years. I want you to seriously look at doing a conventional loan versus a Veterans Affairs, a VA loan. So with the VA loan, it's very high in fees up front. And this is what's funding your mortgage, right? This is what is kind of insuring your mortgage. So there's a lot of upfront costs that get rolled into your mortgage. So if you buy a house for $300,000, and your funding fee is 2.15%, stack up 2.15% on top of that $300,000 if you're doing 0% down, and your mortgage increases, right? Where a conventional loan, a lot of time, the closing costs are not as much as the funding fee will be. And if you're only in a location for 3 to 5 years, and you have to pay PMI, private mortgage insurance, on a conventional loan, it's not going to be as much as a funding fee will be. So I want you to look at doing conventional with at least 10% down. But I know people are probably saying, but I can do the VA loan with 0% down. Yeah, which is a really terrible idea. Because if the market fluctuates, and again, a lot of these military markets, the market can be oversaturated, but there's other markets that it's not oversaturated and there's a good amount of turnover. So you can sell your house or buy a good house. But this 10% down is giving you a buffer. It's giving you a buffer between the amount you're financing and how much your house is worth. So you don't get what's called upside down in your house, where you owe more on your house than it is worth. So again, in step 8, I want you at your location projected between 3 and 5 years, basically more than 2 years, 3 to 5 years, right? And at least 10% down to give you that buffer. It also gives you some skin in the game. So if you're not ready to buy a house, you don't just go out and buy a house with 0% down. And step 8, you've already taken care of everything else. You've done your debt payoff. You've done your emergency fund. You're planning for retirement and you have your college paid for. And step six, you know, you're doing your saving and investing. And that's where your down payment is going to come from, is from your saving and investing. So again, this is the money marching order. These are sequential steps. After you get past money marching order number four, you know, five, six, seven, they're done concurrently. So after you get your 3 to 6 months of net pay saved up, you're going to start your retirement either at 10% or 15% as discussed. You're going to start your 5% either allotment or automatic transfer into non-retirement savings while you're assessing for your college needs, whether it's your wife's college, your college, your kid's college. And then past that point, if you're interested in buying a house and you're going to be at your location for 3 to 5 years, you know, that's when we start looking at the house. So I appreciate y'all listening. And that is the program that Leading with Sense is going to be promoting. It's called the Money Marching Order. And again, I'm Tim McAndrew, your host of Leading with Sense. And until next time, have a great day.